Good evening. You have your Bibles. Would you turn with me to the book of Leviticus in the Old Testament and look at chapter 10. Tonight, we're going to look at the hindrances to worship. And what I want to do in just a special way is have a prayer tonight that God would help settle us and help settle our souls tonight for the Word of God to be broke to us. As you're turning there in your Bibles to Leviticus 10, what I want to do is just have a word of prayer tonight that God will have His absolute way. Because I'll tell you, in this series of messages that we're going to have on this worship, is tonight would be probably one of the premier messages that Satan would try to disrupt and interrupt. And a lot of time we don't realize it, but a lot of time we can come in here with our minds so entertained, we don't mean to, but we miss the Word of God. And what we need to do is pray that God right now would put a hedge about each and every one of us, that God would help us to take a deep breath with our souls tonight and just really settle in and sit in on the Word of God tonight as He helps us along our way. So I want to ask Brother Mike, if you would, just lead us in this prayer tonight before we open the Word of God. Tonight I want to share with you some hindrances to worship. Tonight, if you would, I want to give you this text here to maybe take home and challenge you to use it in your study this week. And maybe Leviticus 10 in verses 1 through 11 be a part of your study this week, but I want to share with you just a few verses that I've highlighted tonight. Let us read in verse 1. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which He commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And then Moses said unto Aaron, this is that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. Look down at verse 8. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, saying, do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, and that ye may put difference between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean, and that ye may teach the children of Israel that all the statutes which the Lord hath spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. I want to give you the first one tonight in the hindrances to worship. Number one is self-will. Self-will is a hindrance, whether you realize it or not, is a hindrance to your worship with God. That hindrance is found because it says very clearly in Leviticus 10, in the first two verses, that these two sons of Aaron were commanded not by God to offer this strange fire. And they offered that fire unto God in their attempt to worship Him, and they knew better. They were not convinced, but yet what happened was, God struck fire upon them and took their lives because of their own self-will. I want to submit to you tonight that self-will instead of God's will hinder you from having worship with God. Now, I don't believe we live in a day in which if you come in here selfishly and all about your will instead of God's will, that God is going to strike you down with a fire. But I will tell you this, He doesn't have to kill you by pouring fire on you. But listen, what can happen around you is we can absolutely kill a worship service by bringing self-will into His midst. So we need to understand tonight, well, I haven't heard anybody getting struck by fire, Preacher Mike. Well, I need you to understand tonight that you can absolutely kill your worship for God by having self-will and self-desire in you. Now, how do you get around that self-will? Well, God tells us how to do that in verse 10. When God is speaking to Aaron, he says, "And that ye may put difference between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean." Pay very close attention to the words in verse 10, where it says that ye may put. He is asking us to place, to put a gap. When he says here a difference, do you see the word of God where he says, "And ye may put difference"? What he is saying is that you need to place a gap between holy and unholy. You need to place a gap and a difference between the clean and the unclean. But here is the problem. The problem is that the holy and unholy today in our churches run so close side by side, you can't see the difference because there's not a difference placed between them. And because of that, the church today, as bad as I hate to admit it, in many cases has divorced themselves from the Lord Jesus Christ and has married the world. And that should absolutely break our hearts that the church has divorced Jesus and said, "I am in love with another. I am having an affair with another," because there is no gap being placed between holy and unholy. Now, let me tell you where this comes into play many times so it doesn't strike you and surprise you. What happens is many times we always have a tendency to repeat what we see. And if something strikes you and it humors you, just say perhaps maybe a lot of time what we run into is we have people who are from different backgrounds and different churches and we go to different events. I encourage that. But I want to let you know something, that everything you see in church today, even though they may be the biggest church around, even though they may be having a list this long of souls being saved and being baptized in membership, does not also necessarily mean that they are holy versus unholy. Listen, I'll tell you right now, we could have all the money in the world if I begin to stand up here and separate, or let me just say not separate, but run together holy and unholy. I could start telling people that it's okay to do what you're doing. Well, see, a lot of people want to get to heaven, but they don't want to abide by the rules. So if we will break the rules and we will bring that gap, but I believe if we're going to have the kind of worship that we need to have, it's going to be because you, individually, you take and place a gap between the holy and unholy. And not just, listen, let me tell you what happened with these two sons of Aaron. They took strange fire because they felt like it would work. But it says very clearly in verse 2, that God had commanded them not to do it, but they did it anyhow. That means that they were not confident in their offering of worship. And there are times we come in and we may have this preconceived notion of worship and we'll even second our motion, but we're not confident about what we're doing. And these two men were not confident about that strange fire. They were not confident about what they were offering to God in worship. Because listen, when God tells you no, you remember it. And what happens is they did it anyhow. So be cautious that self-will is not a hindrance to your worship, even when you know better. Secondly, in the New Testament, John chapter 17, you will find our second hindrance to worship is worldliness. I want to read John 17 beginning in verse 11. And I love this text. We could have a series of messages on this. "And now I am no more in the world." This is Jesus Christ talking to the church. "But these are in the world." Now listen, he's referring to the church. Let me correct that. But he's praying to God for us. Watch this. He says, "But these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are." I got to stop right there just a minute. That we have been prayed over by the Son of God to God the Father. that we are to be kept in His name, and not only to be kept in His name, but we are to be one as God the Father and the Son are? Listen, do you not realize that? Listen, we need to know that worship is so... Listen, a lot of people say, oh, well, I don't have to go to church. This is the living temple. We don't have to do... Listen, I know where they're going with that. You know where they're going with that. Some of us used to go with that. But listen, there is a synergy when you have two believers coming together and God anoints that and He blesses that with His divine energy when you come together. There's something powerful about God's people coming together in worship that only we can come together and bring that divine synergy together. Listen, you can't get that sitting at home by yourself. And I'm going to tell you something. It's important that we do not only the will of God, but the work of God. He says here that worldliness, and boy, I'm just excited when Jesus said that we're supposed to be kept as one. He says, I want you to keep them as one, as me and you are. Listen, God and His Son, that He said, keep them. And do you believe that Jesus would pray a prayer in vain? Do you believe that He would pray something that His Father could not answer? And He said, I want my church to be as one as me and the Father are. Whew. Have mercy. That's good stuff. And that's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be as one. We are one. Let nothing come between us. Jesus showed us how to do it. He said, I might be in this world, but I'm not going to let anything come between me and my Father. And we should have the same attitude. We just preached on it last week. It's fresh in your mind. Nothing should come between us. Nothing. We are one. Listen, I don't know if you ever grew up with brothers and sisters, but y'all fought, didn't you? If you didn't, you need to get checked out because you ain't normal. Look around. These are your brothers and sisters. There's a blood that runs through our veins that are much deeper and richer than the one your mom and daddy could give you. And we should take this prayer to heart. Listen, if you don't know this text, you need to write it down, take a picture, do something. Because that's good. Look, I got to get on to verse 12. I won't ever get finished. Because I got a pretty good streak running, getting on time out of here. All right. While I was with them in the world, in verse 12, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Verse 13. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. The joy of the Lord is supposed to be in you. Listen, you know why you have junk in you? Because you have worldliness instead of godliness. Listen, it's up to you. You want junk or you want joy? The difference is, it's worldliness versus godliness. And you know the old adage. I've used it before and I ain't going to stop now. Garbage in, garbage out. You keep putting it in, it's coming out. And you are the one that's going to have to change that. And you know when you'll change that? When you get tired of it. Not because I asked you to. But when you finally get to the point that you really mean what you say, then there'll be a difference. May God hurry that. But it says now in verse 14, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. But look at verse 15. I pray not that thou shouldest, watch this church, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. Listen, we have to live in this world, but we don't have to let the world live in us. And that is something we need to take to heart tonight. If we're going to have true worship, it'll be because we have godliness versus worldliness. Number three, a critical spirit. Will you go to Galatians 5 and 15 with me? Galatians 5 and 15. The third thing that will hinder your worship with God is a critical spirit. The Bible says in Galatians 5:15, "But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another." And listen, there's a lot of times, there's a lot of biting can go on. Amen? Listen, you know, just people biting all over the place. Little Ella's done got back in that biting stage. And listen, I know this ain't right, but sometimes the best way to stop them from biting is bite them back, you know? And I'm just telling you, but he says here that you should not do that. Let me tell you what happens here, because there's a lot of people who come to church and they're this is on their itinerary. They come to church in order to roast the preacher or roast the teacher or roast the music program. But can I tell you why they over there cooking up something that they're missing? Worship. You cannot worship God with a critical spirit. You cannot come in here looking, well, I'm going to see what's going on today. You know? See, while you over there cooking up everybody, you're missing everything. And you can't come to church with a critical spirit looking over here at this or that. You can't have problems like that. I will tell you this here. A true worshiper will look past the preacher and the teacher and the choir. And I have people sometimes that are more worried about the way these flags or the way them candlesticks is on that table right there instead of God Himself. And may God help them. We need, instead of criticizing, we need to learn how to commend the good and look past those things. And listen, I'm going to tell you, that's a sad case. Come to church looking for those kind of things. Because you're never going to meet God in service. And no how wonder you in the situation you're in. You know? You can't worship God with a critical spirit. That's just the truth. Number four, slothfulness. I'm going back to Proverbs chapter 24, verses 30 through 34. Proverbs 24, verses 30 says, "I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles and had covered the face thereof. And the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well and looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sheep and a little slumber and a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man." This indicates spiritual lethargy. This indicates spiritual laziness. And let me tell you something, church. This is something that's so easy. But listen, spiritual alertness should take the place of spiritual laziness. And we need to realize that, listen, I will tell you something, and this is something you got to look at, being slothful. But I'm going to tell you, have you ever, watch this now, have you ever come to church and don't remember, don't answer this out loud. Have you ever come to church and did not remember what the preacher preached on? Let me tell you what happened to you. Watch this now. I'm here to help you, not hurt you. You were spiritually asleep. You said, well, I wasn't actually sleeping. Yes, you were. Listen, you may not have. Now, I got some physical sleepers, too, now. You ever see me rear up on this pulpit? It ain't just to get up where I can see you. I can see you plenty good from here. It's because you ain't sleeping on my time. Now, I got some people to take medicine and different things. That's fine. I'll let them sleep. But if you ain't got no good excuse, you can sleep at your house. Not in God's house. But I want to tell you something. I want you to be aware of something so it'll help you tonight. Because I think we're serious about worshiping God. If you come in and you're like that, I'm going to tell you something. Truth be known, you probably had such a busy week. Now listen, you're going to have bad weeks. You're going to have some Sundays that are just not going to go over well because you had a bad week. And let me tell you something God knows all about. But you're not going to have a bad year. Amen? Can I get a witness? Yeah. Because What's happening is you're too busy during the week. We are too busy during the week. Now, what are we going to do about that? Do you realize I've invited you and encouraged you on this matter before? But if you are wide open, then you're not going to have time for God unless you change something in your pattern, in your lifestyle. And a lot of times you're going to have to give up something. And nobody likes to quit or give up anything. But can I tell you what's happening in your spiritual laziness? You are robbing God of His worship. And Malachi 3 asks the question, will a man rob God? Sure he will. I'll tell you something. Here he's talking about time, talent, and tithe in Malachi 3. But I don't know that we're not even treading rougher ground when we rob God of His worship. Because I believe above all things He wants to be praised and worshiped. He don't need your money. He don't need your time. He don't need your talent. He can reproduce that, but something He can't do here on earth is make people worship Him. Now, He has cherubims and seraphims, those who sit around the throne with the 24 elders, and they praise Him day and night in heaven. Holy, holy, holy is God Almighty. But what He wants is something beyond an angelic being who has a free will to worship Him. These other things He's got plenty of, but what He wants, I believe, more than anything else is your worship. We cannot be slothful on God. Number five, impatience. Ooh. Isaiah 40:31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run. They shall not be weary. They shall walk and shall not faint. They who wait upon the Lord will have these things. But those who do not will not have these things from the Lord. And can I tell you there are more of those than there are of that? Because we are an impatient people. So I've got a challenge for you, church. And I believe you're going to do it. I just believe you will. I got all the evidence in you in the world. Sometime this week, I want to encourage you to do something. For me, it's a challenge. I want you to take your dinner break, or if you don't have a dinner break from a job, then you just go up there around about 12 o'clock to McDonald's. I want you to go in McDonald's, not around, and I want you to go in there and order the finest. I want you to get a Big Mac. I want you to eat high up on the hog. You hear me? God, hey, don't even worry about the price. This is God paying for this. Now, you go in and order what you like. If you want to settle for less, that's up to you. Just kidding. But what I want you to do is go in and I want you to order something, if it's not but a cup of water. And I want you to go in and I want you to sit down and I want you to drink that cup of water. Sip it. Now, get your straw slow. You pace yourself. And I want you to sit there for about 30 minutes. Now, I'm serious. And I want you to sit there and I want you to just pay attention to all of the people that's running in and out of that place. So you need to be seated down. I want you to watch all the people that are running in and out of that place and through that drive-thru. And then I want you to think deep down in your heart that's how God is just about every day we live. He's sitting there, and everybody He created and around Him is passing Him by. And I don't believe there's a better place you can find that. Go eat off the dollar menu. There ain't no excuse about no money. If you ain't got no money, I got some. And I'll hand it out till I run out of it, but I want you to go this week. Because if I were to look at your checkbooks, most of you eat out a pretty good bit. Can I get a witness? Yeah. Recession, we don't know no recession. Dollar menu cheaper than eating at a house, right? So I want you to go to McDonald's. I'm challenging you now. And sit down and order you, if nothing else, a cup of water. I prefer for you to go by yourself. But I want you to pay attention to everybody passing you by. And I want you to think just for 1 second, how does God feel every moment of every day when we say, God, my schedule is too busy for you. I will not wait on you. I will serve you. I will do my thing. But you're going to have to come to where I'm at, God. And who do we think we are? Because without opening our mouth, that's the bold and brash statement we're making to the Creator who made us. Now, we can justify our means, but until you quit justifying, you're never going to be in a place to wait on the Lord. Our impatience. And can I tell you something else? You won't realize this right now, but your impatience in our fifth point leads to the slothfulness in the fourth point. Because you're so busy running the schedule that you become not necessarily lazy to begin with, but tired, which puts you in spiritual lethargy and makes you dull. And we come in here. Let me tell you what's discouraging. You walk into church on Sunday morning. This is God's day. He said, remember the Sabbath. I think he put that in Exodus 20 because he knew you and I would forget about it. He said, so remember. That's the only one of the Ten Commandments that he attached that to. Remember. Because he said, they're going to forget. Or act as if though they've forgotten. And you come in here, and this is all you see, right? But it's just all over the place. Now, you're the only one doing it, so you're the only one that know about it. But I see 5, 6, 7, 8. Or you ever look at somebody's disposition? That's their posture. Their vice. Hey, a lot of time I'd be a much better preacher if I didn't talk to some of y'all before I did my thing. Amen? Hey, check this out, man. I got to give you this real quick, and then we're going to get out of here. Come up here. Josh, how you doing? See what I mean? He can't even talk. He's so tired. Now listen, don't you be cheesy. I don't like, this is cheesy. You know, forget that. You done went the other way, okay? But I believe. But let me tell you what happens. Ready? We're church people when the clock says 9:30, 10:30, 6 o'clock, and 7 o'clock on Wednesday. That's when we're church people. That's it. You do no preparation before then. You don't read the Word of God. You don't spend time in prayer. You don't wait upon the Lord. And really, if you've done that, then what's happened is you've done a really good beat. But I'm going to just tell you something, and you can learn this today or you can learn it the hard way when life is almost at end for you. But you are not going to worship God till you learn how to spend time with God during the week. You know why everybody is going to charismatic services and all that? Woo! Woo! Because that's what it takes to get the dead Christians alive on Sunday. That's why people are seeking that, because that's the only thing that can rejuvenate their deadness. Listen, I thought we were alive because of our faith. We're not supposed to be dead because we've got it. But that's why everybody wants that charismatic and just going crazy, and they want somebody just going crazy and all that kind of stuff. Because they're dead! And you ought not come to church depending on someone up front to get your soul stirred. You should be ready, anxiously waiting to hear from God when you come to His house. And that's why people come to church. That's why they're sitting here with that critical spirit. They come in the house of God, they half dead, and they ain't slept. They was in the ball game all Saturday night, but they still can't get up in the morning to go to church. And they come, and I'm tired of it. Because I like to come to God's house and really just worship Him. But you can't worship people. I'm tired of that kind of stuff. Amen? It's a hindrance to worship. So we come into God's house. Listen, if I come in here and I'm looking forward to seeing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, I'm coming in here and I've been reading about Him this past week. Boy, I can remember on Tuesday, when He said, if I would draw near to Him, He'd draw near to me. Boy, I remember reading that in James this past week, and I can't wait till I get to the house of God. And I can remember when I was sitting there in my prayer time this past week, and God said, I'm going to show you something special this week. I'm going to manifest my glory in the midst of you, and souls are going to be saved, and lives are going to be changed. And but yet we come in here, I sure hope he got a good one today. It's the truth! It's nothing more but the truth! And that's the only thing that's going to set us free. So I say, get your behonkus into bed on Saturday night at a decent time. How's that thing go? You can't hoot with the owls and soar with the eagles. My mama used to have that on the wall, and I hated that sign. Boy, it's amazing how you remember that garbage. She just, I'd say, Mama, can I stay out an extra half hour late? The truth's just the truth sometimes. But can I tell you something? Now, I know it's funny and it's humorous, but until you get serious about that there, you forget it. You can't come in here half dead, half... Are you going to have a bad week? Yeah. Are you going to be sick? Yeah. Are you going to have a week you spent all week in the hospital? Yeah. But yeah, that's where you come in here still. And your brother and sister bring that synergy that only you can receive coming together as the body of Christ. And they pick you up. But they can't pick you up if they are there. You know, they can't help you. You see what I mean, don't you? Man, we got to get a worshipful heart. We got to get prepared for that. And don't be spiritual lazy and so impatient that you miss God. I got to hurry. Formalism. I mentioned that this morning. Not going to spend long there. That's our sixth one. We can't spend, and we're not real big ritual-based denominations, but you have a lot of denominations that are ritual-based. They're going to say the Apostles' Creed, and there's nothing wrong with that, okay? But what I'm telling you is there are creeds and ritualism that will force God slam out of a worship service. Don't let formalism take over your worship. Number seven, an unforgiving spirit, Matthew 5:23-24. Matthew 5:23-24. Therefore, if thou, this is the Lord speaking, therefore if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer thy gift. Can I tell you something? Your gift to God is worship. Now, in that day, the Pharisees, and they really made a big deal about bringing a gift to God, and it was an act of worship. But let me tell you, we don't do that today. But what God is, He says, you're my gift. He says, when you get up and you come and you've made preparations to come and worship me today, there's no better gift that I could have today. And only so you know something, that you're a gift from God. That ought to make you feel special. That ought to make you really want to get up and put on your finest, you know, when you come to the house of God. And you want to really say, okay, you know, God considers me a gift, man. I'm going to read some scripture and I'm going to pray. And I'm going to just, man, I'm going to put on my best because, see, Jesus might come and get His church today and I want to be looking good for Jesus, you know. And you want to just do that. So you want to be there and you're bringing a gift. But you know what He said? He said, you bring your gift, but if there be aught between you and your brother, you need to leave the gift at the altar before you even try to worship me. And you need to go get that aught worked out. You know what that is? That's grudges. That's discrepancies between you and your brother. And I'm going to tell you what, we probably have a church that's probably half full of people who have aught against you. You believe that? Because I'm going to tell you what, guys, it's easy to rub somebody the wrong way. Yeah. And a lot of times we rub them the wrong way and don't even realize it. And we got to be very careful that we don't produce or manufacture any other grudges or aughts between us and our brother. You got to be careful of that. Because, see, if you don't have an ought between your brother, you don't have to go get it picked. So limit and be careful about your actions. But He says, if you got something between you and your brother, He said, let me tell you something. This is what Jesus said. He said, it ain't going to work. You can't come to the house of God with the finest preacher, the finest choir, the finest programs, the finest people. He said, if you got aught between you and one of your brothers, he said, your time before me in worship will be no good. It's not going to be effective. It's not going to work. And you realize that? You tell me that our relationships with other people are not important to God. He just said, if there's an alt between you and a brother, you can't worship me. You realize that? And we take it very lightly and don't think it's a big deal. That's a huge deal. I'll encourage you to do something. Just because we're preaching on worship this month don't mean we can't worship this month. And I expect big things, church, I'm telling you. Because if what God's trying to do here is not going to do us any good, I'm spinning my wheels, then y'all better off with another captain. I don't mind telling you that. Because if God can't use me to get through to you, then I best be somewhere else. I mean, because obviously it ain't getting it done. And you deserve better than that, obviously, because we got to grab hold of this. And we got to understand, if there be an alt, fix it. That your worship with God is more important than some little alt that may be out there. And if it is, you'll fix it between now and Wednesday night. As we come to God's house, always, even in prayer meeting, with a worshipful heart. Now, last but not least, pride. James 4:6, I'll read it to you. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Can I tell you something? Pride is one of the sneakiest things I believe there is when it comes to sin. Because it comes real subtle, but you know, it's easy for man to have a prideful heart or prideful ways. You know, when it becomes your way and not someone else's way, that's pride. And we have to be humble. Have you ever think about the most humblest person you know. Do they ever get up and push their way around and say it's about them or it's going to be their way or the highway? No, because that's because they're a display of humbleness. See, that's how Jesus was. And I won't be like Jesus. No matter how many times I've got to be broken, I won't be like Jesus. And I will tell you something. You come in here with a prideful heart, and it's going to be your way or this way, you're not going to worship God today. But I tell you what you are going to be rewarded in. A heart that he resisted. That's your reward. And I want to inject something in here as we close. Watch this. Land in the plane. Sunday is not a day to come and share problems. Listen to me. I've seen this in our midst to where some of us may have a problem. And we're going to have real problems. But Sunday is not the day to announce those problems. But it seems as if, though, that is the day to do it because we're all here anyhow. You know what it displays a lot of time? Your cowardice. Because you won't call them or approach them on their ground. You find it much easier to approach them on neutral ground. And I'll tell you what you do. See, if I got a problem with old Benny Lynch back there, and I do, I'll talk to you later. No, just kidding. I'm not going to wait. I said, well, I'll see him Sunday. Oh, no, no. Oh, no. Do you realize that you just fell into Satan's little trap? You know what the truth is? We have them, but I don't even like to have meetings on Sunday. Who are we to come up on the Christian Sabbath when he said, take a break, guys. Take a rest. And worship me. But yet we say, well, let's put in two more meetings if we can because we're going to be here anyhow. Whoa. You know? It just don't make sense. But we do it anyhow, and I'm a culprit of that. But I'll tell you something. If I got a problem with Jim Hayes or Benny Lynch, see, what I'm going to do is when that problem's there, truth be known, I need to go ahead and tend to it just immediately because it's going to fester. And devil's tricking you by saying, do it Sunday. Just mention it to him in the hall in passing. I'm going to tell you what you did. You robbed yourself. And you robbed him. And maybe his entire family if he gets out before church stops. I want to encourage you to do something. I know sometimes I'm hard to get up with. I don't want your problems on Sunday. You absolutely butcher my worship. Don't come to me with problems on Sunday. Unless it is just something, you know, can I be graphic with you? 911. It is an emergency. If it's an emergency, I'm here. Come to me. But don't come up to me and say, "Preacher, somebody done moved the clock off my wall." And I'll say, "I don't really give a flip." That's not an emergency. You may think it is, but it ain't to me. We can work it out. But you'd be surprised. And I'm sitting over here, you know, and I've got my word ready, and I'm ready to come up here, and I'm ready. I'm fitting to come preach the infallible, pure, living word of God. But all I got in the back of my mind is, "Preacher!" And it just keeps ringing and over and over. And the devil, you know, he wants to distract and take away. And or let me tell you what, here's a perfect "Preacher, I ain't going to bother you right now. But right after church, I need to see you." "Just tell me now. The suspense is killing me. Now I got to get done preaching," right? And say, "Well, you know, that's on my mind. Don't bring me that junk on Sunday." There are six other days of the week. Most of you know where I live. And most of you got my telephone. And if you don't like talking to a machine, get over it. Because you go call me most of the time and you go talk to a machine. Or guess what? You ain't going to talk to Mac. But they fill that machine up. Tear it up. But do that Monday through, or do it on Sunday and just say, "Preacher, don't check your messages till tomorrow." That's fine. But I'm telling you, it absolutely kills. And you want me to stand up here and perform an act of God. Or God through me. And you got all that stuff. And listen, guess what? Can I remind you of something? You got one problem. But they might have done been 25 before you got to me. Because your mindset is, "Well, I'm just going to tell them this one thing. They ain't no toilet paper in the women's bathroom." I said, "I ain't been in there lately." You know? And I realize cream ain't the only thing that rises to the top, but come on, ladies and gentlemen. But these are hindrances to worship. I'm going to read them down to you, and we're going to dismiss. Bro, we're not going to have an altar call. Here they are. Ready? You write these down. And besides, I'm going to be putting this in a little three-ring binder, a little How to Make a Fine Wine series. Yeah, we're moving on up like the Jeffersons. Watch this. Hindrances to worship, self-will versus God's will. Number two, worldliness versus godliness. Three, a critical spirit. Four, slothfulness or spiritual laziness. Five, impatience. Six, formalism or ritualism. Number seven, an unforgiving spirit. And number eight, your pride. I want to tell you something tonight. I believe if we'd all be honest with one another, one of those probably applies to us. And can I tell you something tonight? That's the reason you don't leave here changed. That's the reason you don't leave here full. It's because you have something standing in your way of getting to God's presence in worship. And when you take your pots and you take them and you fill them to the brim, in John chapter 2, He's going to take your water as far as you can go, and He's going to turn it into wine. But you have first got to get to the place in your life to where your worship gets to the brim of the water pot. Not an ounce more, not an ounce less. And in this study, we're going to be able to get you there. But you need to be here. And you need to actively tonight, in prayer, as we leave, pray one of these hindrances be in your way. Say, "God, help me this week.